Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the ebook series when we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which was prompted by the Archbishop of Corrado back in, I think, 2000, 2001. Father translated all the writings and then was so enamored by what he read, he used it for his doctoral dissertation for his thesis. And it received high accolades from the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. So everything has been summarized by Father Iannuzzi. He also drives us then into the volumes to corroborate where he derived the summary from. And it all has the Church's seal of approval. So if anybody's looking for material to use for a cenacle, and you know, you want to stay under the radar a bit and keep it everything above board, until we receive the critical edition, there's probably no better vehicle, of course, other than the 36 volumes, than this dissertation. So with that being said, we're going to begin with prayer. But before I do that, I'm going to bring in Maureen, because I have a tendency to forget. Maureen, I know you're saying, how could I possibly do that?
Hi, Peter. How are you doing? Hi, everybody.
Well, everything's possible when your mind is like a sieve. So we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience, and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together today. And you know, last night we did that little tribute to our Blessed Mother, and I have to repeat it because this is just so astonishing. In our catechism, in our Catholic catechism, Article 507, it states clearly, there's just an excerpt from it, quote, at once, Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. End quote. You don't think our Lady Queen of the Divine Will is not powerful, does not have full authority vested by Jesus, her Son? Oh, she does. And thanks be to God for that. So again, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. You know, this doesn't get old, Maureen, but we just keep talking about, you know, if you think about God and the whole operation as being just one massive cog, and a cog really runs any type of engine, whether it be a small engine or a large engine, there has to be a power source, and that's God right here. And prior to Adam sinning, Adam was connected totally intimately with God. And when he sinned, he lost that connection. I can't move the cog away. I can't be that sophisticated. But it remained not operating the way or functioning the way it should function. God is waiting. And now what he's doing is, instead of just Adam and Eve, two people, he's drawing a small group. And we pray that we're part of that small group, very small group. In fact, we're really smaller than we even think. And he's bringing us closer to him, more intimately in union with him, to understand him to a greater degree, actually the greatest degree in the history of mankind, so that we may receive from him. And through him, he will disperse through us. It's just amazing. So we're waiting for this, and it's already begun. It really is. You can find this much, much, much more articulated or better articulated in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, when Jesus explains about the mechanics of the cock. It's beautiful. Now, I have to believe that there's at least one person like me that when we first were introduced to the divine will, it was just so foggy. We could see very little and we understood very little. And then when we were shown, I remember when Deacon John Thompson showed us the 36 volumes, I said, no, Deacon, I can't do it. 36 volumes. What am I going to find time to do? I'm trying to be a father, a husband and everything else I'm trying to be. I can't do it. But we recognize now, once we give it an opportunity to work in us, it's a lot easier than it looks on the surface. God opens up doors without us even trying. As long as we take the first step, as long as we take the first initiative, as long as we show that we have that desire, he fills us with everything to our contentment and to whatever we're able to contain. Again, we want to keep expanding as much as we can. So we're beginning to see it more clearly every day we venture in this. Speaking of venturing, we are at a new summary. We finally left P.G. Renzi's after about 8 weeks. And this is a new summary by Father Iannuzzi, again, and then he'll show us the volumes in which he brings us into to better understand it and to see where he drew these sources and these truths from. And again, all this has the church's approval, this seal. It has abrogation, high accolades from the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. So, Maureen, what I thought we would do is, it gets really complex down here, so I thought instead of reading the entire passage, maybe we'll just take it, the first paragraph, because I think we can only get through 276 and 277. We may not even be able to get through 277, because footnote 277 has two readings, and the second one is rather long. So maybe we'll take it to the cross, and we'll let that digest a little bit, and then we can bring ourselves into the volumes.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay. Let me bring out the pointer so I can remember where I am. Okay.
5.3.7.2. Man's progression in sanctity through the exercise of faith, hope, and love. While Maximus acknowledges that faith induces the intellect to accede to God, Louisa adds that such faith by which one knows God, when accompanied with trust, enables one to find God. The soul's faithful attentiveness brings it to discover perfect peace and constancy, which aid in rendering its participation continuous in God's eternal operation, which produces many innumerable effects.
I was having difficulty there with the pointer. Sorry about that. But okay, two sentences. And we can probably go on for a month, if not longer, on this. Maximus, really interesting how Father drew Maximus into this whole mix of things. I thought I knew the definition, so I just threw a couple other words using the thesaurus. It just means agree, consent. So while Maximus acknowledges that faith induces the intellect to agree, to consent to God, I think allowed me to better understand that. And then, you know, Maureen, we see these two words, faithful and attentive. Mm. And we know that there's a book called, I think it's either Be Faithful and Attentive or Faithful and Attentive. And it's on our website. There's one version of it there. There's a second version that you have to purchase. It's a black sort of fall leather bound. And Be Faithful and Attentive, the book was written actually by Father Robert Young. And he wrote it with a gentleman by the last name of Hart. So they did a sort of a team effort on this. It's called, actually, that's why the author's name is Robert Hart. Robert for Father Robert Young, and Hart, I'm not sure what Mr. Hart's first name was. It's a good book. Again, in no means does it substitute for the volumes, but it gives us a nice format as to putting things together. And that's also what Father Iannuzzi's dissertation does, because it's methodically set up in sort of tranches of auras or genres that allow us to stay in a particular mode and understand it to whatever capability we have. So faithful and attentiveness is really important. Again, Jesus mentions it often, Maureen. Another word also that we recognize is constancy. I'm not sure if I left constancy here. I may have deleted it, make room. Yeah, I did. Okay. Jesus tells us in one of the volumes, he explains what he means by constancy. And of course, we pretty much understand that, but he gives us a little bit more in detail what he's looking for. You know, he doesn't want us to be in his will one day and out the next. Again, it's going to happen like that in the beginning, probably for all of us. Maybe not all of us, but and that's okay, because as we are enjoying the divine will, let's say on loan, usually as Jesus says for a particular act, when he withdraws that grace or the divine will, that gift, he leaves behind a sort of residue, which allows us to increase our desire, increase our knowledge of it, and want it. We become addicted to what we received from God, addicted to his love in essence. So those are the three big words that I just recall from reading the volumes: faithful, attentive, and constant. I think those three are probably the makings of a really, really good formula. Would you say, Marie?
Oh yeah. I have that book, Be Faithful and Attentive.
It's nice.
And I really like it. I keep it in my car because if I bring it in my house, it'll get lost. So, you know, I take it, you know, if I'm get to Mass early or where I want to stay and read, I read it. You know, it's good. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. In fact, if I can remember, I will attach the link to where you can purchase that book. We don't sell it. We don't sell anything. Also, I neglected last evening to place the link of that movie about Mary, Mary Full of Grace. And it was perfect, too, to watch that on the birthday, the nativity of Our Lady. But again, it's her last hours on earth, and you see the apostles coming. So I'm going to do my best to remember. I have three notes in front of me. I'll try to attach that as well as where you can purchase the Faithful and Attentive, if you so desire. I don't think there's a soft copy anywhere. I haven't found it, but we'll keep looking. Okay, so we can then jump to footnote 276, which I think is a short one. So that's just, so to God, Louisa, Louisa adds that such faith by which one knows God, when accompanied with trust, enables one to find God. We have to trust that what we know is true, and hence we can find God. So that's footnote number 276. And I cut out a lot of stuff. It's right here.
Volume 5. July 19th, 1904. Daughter, faith makes one know God, but trust makes one find him. So without trust, faith is sterile. And even though faith possesses immense riches with which the soul can enrich itself, if there is not trust, it remains always poor and lacking in everything.
You know, Marina, I think to really understand that. I mean, I've read that line probably 20 times already since I put the material together. And every time I read it and pray on it, I just say, Lord, please give me a better understanding as to what you're saying, because it sounds like one or the other. And that when he says, without trust, faith is sterile. And, you know, let me go back to what Jesus said to his apostles: when I return, will I find faith? And I have to believe that he was invoking or presuming that the trust is there with the faith, because again, if not, the faith could not be complete, cannot be generative, it cannot help us to the fullest. So I think it's really important to trust God, to have faith in God. They're so similar, but yet, as Jesus mentions, one without the other, trust or faith without trust is sterile. That's pretty important, I guess. So that's something, again, that if you're not getting a whole lot out of that passage or that excerpt, you may want to go back to Volume 5, July 19th, 1904, and read the entire passage. Read what's before this excerpt and what's after it. I don't know if there's anything after it, but there might be. So that way we can get the full breath, the full bouquet of what God is trying to explain to us here. And then again, like Mother Gabriel mentioned on Sunday, to read it, to reread it two Sundays ago. Because the more we read it, the more God gives us. Because again, we're showing that desire. And every time we prove to him our desire, he reciprocates by giving us the truth, by giving us a greater understanding, by opening up another door, another light, per se. So 276 is a really, really good footnote. Anything else to add to that, Marie?
No, no.
Am I forgetting anything? Okay. Okay. 277 is a really good one. Okay, so the soul's faithful attentiveness, again, those words, brings it to discover perfect peace and constancy, that word again, which aid in rendering its participation continuous in God's eternal operation, which produces many innumerable effects. Which produces many innumerable effects. And that's footnote number 277. We'll do the first one here.
Okay. Volume 15, February 13th, 1923. My daughter, have courage. Be faithful and attentive to me, because faithfulness and attentiveness produce in the soul the state of constancy that I possessed. They form one single attitude, and they establish perfect peace. One is its act, though its effects are innumerous.
Again, there are no formulas in the divine will, but here's a formula. It's right here. Faithfulness coupled or and with attentiveness produce in the soul the state of constancy. So that's how we obtain that state of constancy. Right there. It's not my words, not Maureen's words. Jesus, because faithfulness and attentiveness combined produce in the soul the state of constancy that Jesus possessed. And they form that one single attitude, that one thought, that one concurrent. And they establish perfect peace. One is its act, though its effects are innumerous. Infinite, not finite. How many is infinite? It's infinite. It keeps going. And again, Jesus explains, how does this keep going? How do we keep gaining deeper insight, a greater understanding of what's been given to us already? That explication that Article 66 speaks about. It's by having the desire. And then to have the desire, to intellectually have it, to morally have it, to soulfully have it, then if we really do have it, there is an action that goes with that. We open the book or we listen to the volumes or anything else. Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, Hours of the Passion, the letters of Louisa. You really want to understand who Louisa is? I mean, most of the time she's being playful with Jesus and she's really writing what Jesus is dictating to her. But in her letters, which is on our website, I think, do we have audio? I'm not even sure. There are on other websites also. But in the letters, you actually see how Louisa takes what she received from Jesus, forms it in her own mind, sees it through her own individual you, as we all do, that different sort of shade of color, and she presents it to loved ones and to peers and to colleagues. And you really understand then really what and how much of this really Louisa grasped. She grasped everything. And again, here's a young lady when she started that had the level of a first grade education. And I don't think that's by chance that God did that, because I think he's trying to explain to us that this is for the learned and for the not so learned, for the professional and for the not professional, for the weak as well as the strong. Anyone in the state of grace, Jesus states, can receive this gift. So in one respect, it's really not difficult, because if it was difficult, then only a certain segment of humanity would be able to receive it. God opened it up to everyone. But again, the caveat is we must be in the state of grace. And again, that's a choice we make. No matter what we've done, Jesus says, I forget what volume, he says, I will forget your prior life. I will forget your past completely if you begin anew now. And we have the precept to that with the divine mercy, devotion, and the gifts that come through divine mercy. And the divine will takes it to the other level. Remember divine mercy, if you go to confession, mass, and recite the, I think you recite the chaplet, your sins and the punishment for those sins is expunged, is done away with. And then we only have between that day and the following year to worry about what sins we've accumulated up to that point. Well, God takes it to a whole different level. He says, I'm going to take care of all your sins and the punishment for those sins on earth while you're still living, if you want. And of course, we do want. And the more we understand it, the more we're going to want it. Again, the knowledge and desire is really, it's the gerbil wheel. It's all reciprocal. Knowledge increases desire. And through the use of increased desire, we gain more knowledge. So it's all there for us. But faithful and attentiveness, producing the soul, the state of constancy. That was easy, right, Marie?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the next passage that Father Annuzzi gives us is a big one. I'm not sure if we can finish it. We'll try. We may. We never know. But this is the second a passage that goes with that footnote. And I just want to, when Maureen begins to read this, I just want to point out what's highlighted here, underlined, I should say. And what really struck me is the middle here. The reason for the silence of Jesus, because Jesus is teaching us here why he's silent and why we ought to be silent sometimes. And if anyone would like to read, there's a two-page document. Just thought of it. It's called Droplets of Silence. And it's got passages from different mystics and saints and Jesus and Mary. Droplets of Silence. It's on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and it's on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. It's only two pages, but it really sheds a lot of light into the beauty and the majesty, if you want to call it, the power behind silence. And I think we're going to see it here when Maureen begins, which is now. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Volume 23, December 30th, 1927. How Jesus makes himself seen while sowing little lights in the field of the soul. Reason for the silence of Jesus. Immense value of the manifestations on the divine will. Divine and human characters. I was all abandoned in the divine volition according to my usual way, following its acts. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, my beloved Jesus has reduced himself almost to silence. He speaks so very little, even about his lovable will, as if he did not want to say anything anymore. Who knows whether he will put a limit and will cease to speak also about what regards his fiat.
Well, you know, Maureen, the first thing that jumped out at me here is sort of a lesson to myself, or maybe to us, if anyone feels the same way. When we find ourselves sharing the gift of living the divine will with others, regardless who they are, colleagues, friends, family, we find the best way through the inclinations that we receive from Jesus or our Blessed Mother on how to go about it. Do we use the Hours of the Passion? Do we use the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom? Do we use a passage from one of the volumes? Do we speak about St. Hannibal? You know, we'll use something as a door opener. We want to give a little bit of information, but then like Jesus, be quiet. It's like the art of the sale. I remember in sales, they say, ask for the sale and then be quiet. Because now the pressure's on the person to either say, yes, I'll take it, or no, I won't. So when Jesus gives us a light or a truth and then becomes quiet, he's giving us time to ponder it. He's giving us time to absorb it, to masticate it, and to hopefully digest it. So remember, Jesus is never going to invalidate and violate our free will. He's not going to force us into accepting this gift, but he will explain why. He'll give us the truths. He'll work on increasing our desire. And of course, the rest is up to us. There is work involved. It is easy, but there is work involved. Jesus is looking for us to unveil, in essence, his humanity. Everything's been covered with sheets. And he wants us to take the initiative to take those sheets off and see what's underneath. And that's what we're doing with every one of the truths. So maybe that's something that we may want to ponder when we're sharing this gift, that mention it and then be quiet. And last but not least, great example, how we were introduced to the divine will. It was October 13th, 2014. Deacon John Thompson, the father of Maureen, at the table, asked, has anyone ever heard of Louisa Picaretta? He said, no, Deacon. He mentioned a little bit, maybe 45 seconds about the divine will. Not much, but just enough to whet our appetite. And then when everyone left the house, my wife and I said, let's just check out this divine will. And literally within 10 minutes, we looked at each other. I'm not even embellishing this. We looked at each other and said, this is it. This is everything. Now, if Deacon had given us too much information, perhaps we would have had enough information to say, well, it's nice, but I got other things to do. If he had given us too little information, maybe we wouldn't have had the desire to go do some research. So he gave it, you know, like the three bears. It was just right, the porridge. That's an art. And we have to sort of ask Jesus and our Blessed Mother for that guidance. How much do I say to this person? I mean, don't get flustered over it, but usually less is best. And that's what exactly what Jesus does here. He gives Louisa the opportunity through the grace and graces that Jesus is going to give her to come up with her own conclusion. Her own desire, her own wants. It's beautiful. He respects our free will that much to do so. He loves us that much. It's amazing. And next time you see Deacon John, please tell him thank you again.
I will, as soon as I'm done here. Yep.
Okay. That's fast enough.
Okay.
She doesn't like.
At that moment, he made himself seen in my interior as a little child, clothed with light, in the middle of a field, while taking some light from his lap and sowing it in the field with many little drops of light, all silent and intent on the work. And seeing that I was surprised, he told me, "My daughter, all that you think now, you have thought from the time you were writing the 16th volume that I would cease to speak about my divine will, but I was doing nothing but sowing the field of your soul with many drops of light, which germinating and fecundated in your field from the light, little lights have turned into suns. These suns are the many surprising manifestations which, from that time until now, I have made known to you about my will. Oh, how beautiful was the field of your soul invested by these suns, one more beautiful than the other. It transformed completely into a divine field. All heaven was enamored by this field, and in looking at it, it felt its happiness being doubled."
So I see Jesus, again, giving us a bit of a visual on how he goes about doing this. And again, he's not withholding information intentionally to make it difficult for us. On the contrary, I think he's giving us an opportunity to take what he's given and to fully utilize it. He tells Louisa, and again, I don't remember what volume, he says, "There's much that I've already given you that you have not fully masticated yet." And that's a powerful statement, because that means that we haven't gotten the full effect of what he's given us. And that probably goes for the majority of what we've read up to this point, because many times we're reading and we're limited with time, and we can't really do the pondering and the meditation. And then through the gift of contemplation, you know, take it to another level, or God actually elevates us to another level with that thought. So again, I think, personal opinion, I think the divine will is more quality over quantity. I know myself, if I read less, I seem to get more. Again, I'm not advocating read less, but what I'm saying is, if I only have a certain amount of time, if I try to do the speed read, I retain very little, and I don't go anywhere with any of the thoughts that I just received. But when I take a little bit and I dissect it sort of virtually in my mind, I think it becomes easier. I remember Jesus says, once he opens the door with this light, it's unending. It's just, we just need to get in the door. Or if we can't get in the door, get in the window. If we can't get in the window, get in the basement. We have to get inside the house somehow, the house of the divine will. And once we're in, then it's really up to us. How much do we desire to explore? How much do we want to see the different rooms? How much do we want to unveil all the furniture that's been covered? Again, we're using an analogy of a house that's been packed up and the occupants left. Well, in essence, Adam and Eve, they did leave. They were kicked out. So everything was covered. And now God's letting us back in. And now he wants to know, how much do we want to know what's there and how we can use it? And that's our work, to unveil God's humanity. Because everything to the divine will is in God's humanity. He intentionally made his humanity complete. And that's why Revelation is complete. Everything necessary for salvation has already been given to us. What the divine will is doing through the work of Louisa is explicating what's been given, making it better understood in a particular period of time. So is it adding? Not really, but it's clarifying, so to speak. It's that magnifying glass. You know, we looked at something with the naked eye for 2,000 years in the church, and we see it pretty well. But now if you look at something under a magnifying glass, we can see so much more. Wow, look at that. Was that always there? Yeah, it was always there. We just couldn't see it with the naked eye. So the divine will now becomes a magnifying glass. And Father Annuzzi spoke about this briefly on his last session with us on Sunday. So thank God that the divine will is here. It's not only a window. It's a magnifying glass to see what's already been given, which has always been there. But due to our lack of being able to see it, we now have a corrective lens. And we can see everything that God gave us. And as we see it, God will give us the grace to understand. Somehow I have two magnifying glasses on. I had none 2 days ago. The beauty of multiplication. Okay. Okay. Let me just move this up a little bit more.
Okay. Now, one who has sowed has the right to harvest. And since it is a divine field, I am the owner of it, not only to harvest, but to sow it again. So I am doing nothing other than sowing it again. Don't you see how I am all intent on the work of sowing seeds of light into this field, so that as they germinate, the new sons of the knowledges on my will may come out? And work brings silence, and my silence is warmth, maturity, and fecundity, in order to transform the little seeds of light into more refulgent suns. I work in you always, either in one way or another. The work of my divine will is long, and therefore I am always occupied, and I keep you occupied. So let me do and follow me.
We read earlier that trust, faith, must be present. It's hard sometimes. He tells us that I work in you always. And he means that. He's working on us when we're awake, even when we're sleeping. That's why Father Celso advises us that when we go to bed in the evening or the morning, depending on how we work, where we work, to do an act of contrition and then speak to Jesus, to take him and do whatever he wishes with you while you sleep. And he's going to take that seriously. And he's going to do with you what he pleases. Again, surest way to know his will is to let him do it. And that's why sometimes we wake up in the morning. I think we've all felt this. We wake up in the morning and somehow we have this enlightenment. This is like epiphany. Like we read something yesterday and now it's just making so much more sense. Or why do I remember this morning? For my coffee, but I do remember it. Well, perhaps God was working on us in our mind, our intellect, and our soul while we slept. So God never stops in the good things that occur in our lives, and even those things that don't seem so good via his permissible will, because he will never allow something. He says this, he will never allow something to affect us unless he's going to bring a greater good of it. And we can all attest to that, I'm sure, if we look back in our lives. Take the worst thing that happened, what we thought was the worst thing that happened in our lives. And then just ask us a really serious question to say, if God's permissible will, the mysterious permissible will that did not allow that event to happen, would we be here today? I can almost guarantee the answer would be no. Everything had to happen exactly the way it did. And that's why it's such a miracle that we're alive, and a greater miracle that we're alive at this time. Really. This is really incredible, isn't it? So let me do and follow me. Another phrase from Father Celso. Get out of my way. Let me do, but follow me. Trust, faith, confidence, hope. It's all there. And that all leads to constancy. Okay.
Then I felt all the weight of the silence of Jesus. I felt exhausted of strength and I felt faint. And I thought to myself, why do these knowledges on the divine fiat require so much work of Jesus and so many sacrifices?
So I know it's a quick stop here, but this is something that probably we all feel. It was almost like Luis was becoming a little uncomfortable. You know, I felt the weight of the silence. You know, he's quiet. Sometimes we feel that way, like if we're in a room, it gets quiet, or we're with people that perhaps were just introduced to us, and there's that quiet moment, and somebody just waiting to sort of break the ice. God's waiting, not for anyone to break the ice, but for us to move our will, to move it closer to his. And we can do that subliminally. We don't have to use any gestures to do it. We don't have to pick up any physical objects. Well, that's done spiritually. And we can do it at any moment. And it doesn't matter if we're infirmed in bed, if we're not feeling well, if we're, it doesn't matter. We have a disability. Louisa was in bed her entire life when she accepted that. She looked like she was doing nothing. In fact, Jesus told her, you look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. So it doesn't matter how fast we run or how briskly we walk. Doesn't matter. We can go everywhere just from our bed if we're so stuck there, or the chair, or in the car, or in a cubicle at work. It doesn't matter. God is always working on us, as long as we don't shut the door. As long as we do that preventing act in the morning, asking for the will. Remember, there's four things that Jesus says. I hope I can remember them. The four things, the four contingencies that we need to receive this gift. We need to be in the state of grace. We need to have an ardent desire. We need to really want this gift. We need to have an upright intention. We want to have this gift, not just for ourselves and our family, but for all souls, because that's what God wants. And then the fourth is we have to ask for this gift. God says he likes to hear us ask for this. He doesn't want us groveling. He just wants us to ask for it. He says he loves when the souls use words, because all of creation is mute. We are their voices. And that's why we can do our rounds. When we see a tree, when we see a flower, when we see a waterfall, when we see anything, the sky. Glory to you, Lord, for your creation in this. So we speak for all of nature. And why? Because God likes to hear us speak. It's beautiful. And some of us like to talk, right?
Okay. And Jesus, coming back, clasped me tightly in his arms to strengthen me and added, my daughter, if I wanted to work for a whole eternity in order to manifest a single knowledge on my divine will, it would not be enough. In fact, the value of a single one of them is such and so great that if you wanted to make a comparison to see what contains more value, whether the starry heavens or the sun, the sea, the earth, one single knowledge of mine has more value than the whole creation together. In fact, my knowledge is of immense value, infinite and without limit. And as it comes out of us, wherever it reaches, it generates and multiplies to infinity the good and the light it contains. It is the true regenerator of the divine life. On the other hand, the creation does not contain an immense virtue, and it is limited.
Again, I think Jesus is explaining on how his work never ends. And he's not telling us that so, how do I say this? Not to brag, but he's not saying this just for idle words on see how hard I'm working on you. But he wants to convey to us, again, he's not going to invalidate our free will. He wants us to work. There is a deal of work to be done. There is. And he mentions that in several volumes. And really, we're to unveil his humanity. And we can do so the quickest way through reading the volumes. Now, there's other ways as well. Now, we have to be careful not to fall into the heresy of Gnosticism. We can't say that only those who have the volumes can receive the gift of the divine will, because that's simply not true. But we can say that if God has made these volumes available to us, yes, he expects us to read or listen and meditate on them. But somebody who has not had the opportunity can still receive the gift if it's God's will. These are mystical gifts. And Father Annuzzi explains to us, mystical gifts are not given to us equally like baptismal gifts. Mystical gifts are given to us unequally. They're given to whoever God pleases, when he pleases, to whatever extent he pleases. So anybody can receive this gift. But for those who have been called, Our Lady says, this book is gold. I have brought this book to you. Our Lady states that. We read that yesterday, last evening, I believe. Empowered by God, Our Lady has made the book available to us. Do you think she's made that book available for us not to read it? Of course not. So if the book has been made available to us, it is the quickest way. It is the quickest way. Because God is with us every moment, every step of the way, giving us grace upon grace upon grace. That's up to us to use those graces. The efficacy of grace is probably our biggest nemesis. Not utilizing what's been given. Underusing. We can never overuse, because we just read, Jesus is so immense, it's infinite. What he possesses is without limit. He's going to multiply it in us, but we have to want it. And that's why the Baltimore Catechism was spot on. Why are we here? Why were we created? To know God, to love God, and to serve God. In that order. Because the more we know God, the more we're going to love him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to want to serve him. And now through the book of heaven, through the magnifying glass, we know that the best way to serve him is to fuse in his most holy divine will. So it all comes together. It's full circle. But it's inch by inch, bit by bit. It's beautiful. Okay. We're about a quarter. Maybe we'll take this down one more break if we can.
Okay. This is why I spare neither work nor sacrifices, because I know all the value it contains, and the place in which I deposit it becomes for me my divine field, my throne, my altar, and my jealousy of love is so great that I never leave her free, and I work always to keep her all intent on me. What to say then, if instead of one single manifestation on my will, there are so many
as to stud her, as more than a heaven with many sons of my will. Think about it yourself, my daughter, and appreciate a good so great, a seed so fecund in the field of your soul.
God does all the planting. He does the watering. He brings the sun out. We just have to make sure we don't step on ourselves. Squash out the plant. Yeah, I love that phrase. I never leave her free. And you know what that reminded me, Maureen? It reminded me, I guess it was maybe grammar school, maybe even junior high school. I can't remember. But in physical education, every 2 weeks you get what's called free gym or open gym. You can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And what happens in that time? Usually we don't do much, right? We end up talking or doing something in the corner. But yet, when we have something structured, we learn something. We get some poignant exercise. So God's never going to leave us free, unattended, without guidance. Again, he's not going to push us, force us, but he's going to guide us if we accept that. He really is a gracious God. He really does love us. I think what we'll do is I think we'll stop here instead of just rushing through the rest, because I think this is really, really great. And it gets even better, if I remember correctly. Before I move on to the announcements, any closing thoughts, Maureen? Anything?
No, it's beautiful as usual.
So good, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of all good, got some really good stuff happening. Okay, so tomorrow we have Father Celso with a day of recollection, Divine Will Day of Recollection. It's Reflections on Luisa and the Return to My Fiat Part 2. It begins at 8 a.m. if you want to join us for Adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. Then 9 o'clock, Father will join us. I don't think I have the schedule now. It's basically 5 45-minute talks with an hour break for lunch. It'll go from 9 to about 2:45. Again, highly recommend it. I'll send out once again the material to be used for tomorrow, so you can follow along or print it out maybe and make your notes as Father gives his commentary on the volumes. That might be great. But that's tomorrow. Father Celso back in the saddle after the summer hiatus, so he's ready to go. Spoke to him today in Lent, and so he's excited about that. So that's on Saturday. On Sunday we have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And I've got some good news. I think I can share it. I think I can. Mother is going to be soon moving some sisters back here to the United States. Somebody gifted that I think about 100 acres in Tennessee. And they've begun construction on some things, some housing. And they have the bishop's approval and blessing. Yet another one of Mother's always expanding facilities will come back home to the States and in Tennessee. So we're excited about that. Again, the fruit will tell you the value of the gift. And we see that Mother's order is growing every day, every moment. So that's on Sunday. So we're blessed to have her. Then looking a little further down the road, two Sundays from that, we'll have Mother Gabriel Marie again back on September 25th. And my co-host will be Daniel O'Connor. We're really excited about that. So that's on September 25th. And then I think a couple days next to this, and this is thanks be to God for the connection that Maureen provided us with Ken. And this is a program, What the World Needs Now, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And I'm so blessed to join the host, Ken Johnson. And we will have Mother Gabriel Marie as our special guest. And yeah, that is a great picture. I don't even know if she knows that I'm using it. I don't know if she'd have any regrets on that. Probably not. Maybe might not be her favorite, but that's the joy of the Lord. Our blessed sisters in Italy and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will are beautiful souls. So I would be safe to say that in the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to begin that fundraiser again with Luisa's portrait, a beautiful portrait done by a soul that joins us every week, who discovered an artistic talent during the COVID lockdown. She did a beautiful picture, a portrait of Luisa, and she has it done on this French paper with this color photography. It looks like an original. Anyway, so we're going to be offering those portraits of Luisa. Like Father Celso says, Father Bucci says that we should always have a picture of Luisa in our house, especially when times begin to get difficult, which they may be right around the corner for us. So we'll be doing a fundraiser to help them get their facility up and running as quickly as God's will is. So that's it. Again, appreciate your patience and my raspy voice today because my allergies are really bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to end with something from the three appeals. And I'm going to do it from Our Lady's appeal. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Blessed Mother states, quote, "Do not inflict me with the sorrow of you rejecting me, but accept this gift of heaven that I am bringing you. Welcome my visit and my lessons. Know that I will go throughout the world imparting my lessons to each individual and to all families, to religious communities, to every nation and to all peoples. If necessary, I will do so for entire centuries until, as their queen, I have formed my people, and as their mother, my children, so that they may know the gift of living in the divine will and allow it to reign everywhere." End quote. Do not disappoint Our Lady, because Our Lady never disappoints us. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Maureen. And thanks, Peter, Everyone, for joining us tonight. See everybody tomorrow for Father Celso's Divine Will Day of Recollection. I think he's going to be full of energy. It's been 9 or 10 weeks since Father's done a Day of Recollection. So I think he's got a lot of stored energy for tomorrow. But hopefully you'll be with us. If not, hopefully if I press the right buttons, we'll record it and you can have it in the archives just in case you can't make it tomorrow. Okay, love everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Be nice to one another. Bye-bye.